Well, welcome again, everyone, to another broadcast of Help and Hope for Families. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member of Family Life here in the Pittsburgh area, along with Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our Pittsburgh Family Life team.
Tim, thanks for having us here again.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Appreciate it.
And Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent and very busy these days in the Pittsburgh area. Mm-hmm. So welcome back to you folks as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be back.
Yeah, Pam, has the real estate business really picked up a lot for you by chance?
It has.
It's going nuts, huh?
It's crazy. Oh. It's crazy. I'm out of control.
Must be those low interest rates. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the pandemic has just caused a lot of pent up, tension. Hey, building materials, everything. Mm-hmm. At any rate.
Yeah.
Anyway, Scott, go ahead.
So we were on topic of conversation last week. We talked about the starting steps of pornography and what some of the challenges are that couples face in this area, in this region. And I was thinking about this book by Steve Arterburn. It's Every Man's Battle. And it's a great resource to look at and to read. But I want to encourage folks who are out there that are listening, because we've also recognized this is not just a male-dominated issue. Women are becoming much more entrenched in the pornography movement. And it's so fake. It's such a facade. And I feel so bad for our wives who will never feel like they'll ever be able to measure up. And it's so sad to see women objectified and men compartmentalized. And there you go. You just got this perfect recipe for disaster. And, Tom and Pam, you guys have some great insight and some great ideas and thoughts on the topic Beyond Every Man's Battle that we talked about. Because 90% of men have a challenge with lustful thoughts in their lives, in their minds. It's pervasive. And let me just say, it's for those of you out there who are struggling in this area, you're not alone, and you're not this heinous criminal sinner kind of a thing. We all sin, and we all fall short, and we all are equal at the foot of the cross. But what are practical things that couples can do or individuals can do to, number one, take steps to talk through this and or as a couple? And I like to talk a little about forgiveness, so maybe you guys can.
Sure. You know, Scott, we were talking in earlier episodes that we've been married 40 years, and we have.
You don't look like it.
Well, I appreciate that.
50 years, 60 years, maybe?
I appreciate that, Tim, or Scott. But
call me anything, but just don't call me Tim.
I grew up on pornography. When we're talking here today, we're talking from a place of experience. So when we're reaching out, this is coming from a place where Pam and I have walked, and our marriage has survived, and marriages can survive. But I grew up, pornography was just a part of my life. In recent weeks, my dad has been very, very ill, and it's really tapped me back into some of those experiences in my life and what those were like and what it was like for Pam. Now, Pam actually has a birthday coming up as we speak. Her birthday's coming up very, very soon. And I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but, you know, my...
35.
Yeah,
35, 38.
35 and holding.
Married 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. But the grip that pornography has, it's not based on the attractiveness of your spouse. That's not what it is. There's something deeper than that. And so you mentioned Every Man's Battle. Back in 2009, I attended one, and that was the longest five-hour drive of my life from the Pittsburgh area to the D.C. area. But our marriage had come to a point of crisis that Pam said, you either get help or we can't do this anymore. And when my why became so much bigger than my why not, I was willing to say whatever it takes. But it's the longest drive of my life because I knew they were going to talk about personal things that I had buried for years and years. And so, Pam, you can probably talk more about the forgiveness aspect of this than I.
Well, the forgiveness part is hard. And I want to say if there's a woman out there that is struggling with forgiveness, I understand. I get it. Forgiveness is difficult because you feel like you aren't enough. You aren't pretty enough, you aren't attractive, you're not, everything about you is wrong, and if you could just do more. Mm-hmm. And I thought, as a Christian lady, if I could just connect all the dots and I did all the things, that 2 and 2 makes 4, but it doesn't always add up. Right. And so I did all those things that I thought was necessary. But it is a very tough thing. But when I looked down the road and I looked at the legacy that I wanted to leave my children, it was not of one of a broken home. Mm-hmm. And I love this man with all my heart. Mm-hmm. And there was just something worth fighting for.
Pam, mm-hmm. does forgive mean you have to forget?
No, you never forget. You never forget. Yes. But, and there are those triggers that you still have there. But to forgive means that I know that your heart is big. And I know that there's something there that's causing this pain inside you, even though I don't understand it.
Mm, you mean that brokenness? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Pam, I really appreciate how you worded that. Because when I listen to you describe what forgiveness is about, it is trusting a God that is much bigger and higher than myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And forgiveness truly is an initial step, but it doesn't necessarily, obviously, restore trust. Mm-hmm. That's the journey.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you gave us the starting point, and I really appreciate that.
Yes. I was taught a formula for rebuilding trust, and it's simply this: time plus consistency. Mm-hmm. Probably way early on. Understand, Pam and I got married when we were 17. Whoops, I guess I kind of just gave her a But anyway, we did get married when we were 17. And had it been a one-time thing where I struggled, I came to her and confessed and she forgave, it would have probably been easier. However, I was never a confessor. We spoke of that in our last episode about should husbands confess. I was never a confessor. Mm. It would be Pam would be finding it, and she would confront me with it. Often I would deny it. And so that repeated behavior makes it even more difficult to forgive. And what we find is that within the women where there's been repeated offenses and betrayal, that woundedness actually triggers a part of our brain, the amygdala, that is sort of the radar system of our brain. And when there's been repeated behavior, the wife might see a little behavior that to her, it just absolutely means you are doing it again.
Yeah.
Because the amygdala thinks worst case scenario every time. Mm-hmm. And that's because of that repeated behavior, and it makes it even more challenging for the wife to forgive.
Give us that formula again. Trust?
Time. Trust equals. So time plus consistency equals trust. And by the way, I tell the men that I work with, whoever it is that's addicted to pornography is not the one who gets to determine the amount of time. Mm. It's the betrayed spouse that gets to him. The husband will say, it's been 6 months.
Yes.
And the wife will say, it's only been 6 months.
Yes.
And so the one who was betrayed is the one who determines the amount of time. And most generally, I have found that most wives want to forgive. Most spouses don't want to stay in this place of unforgiveness. It's fear. It's a fear base. They've been hurt over and over. And I talk about in my counseling with couples, I talk about avoiding the elephant in the relationship. And so I say that we tend to avoid the elephant, and we try to get really good at cleaning up the mess that the elephant makes. And so we want to release that elephant, and then when we have that elephant that's no longer there, now we have space between us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to a lot of the couples that I work with about putting grace in the space. And I one time asked Pam about you putting that grace in that space. And Pam, do you remember what you said to me when I asked you about putting the grace there? And you mentioned that it when there's betrayal like this, it's hard to trust. Do you remember that that conversation we had?
Yes, yes. And it is hard to trust because you think, oh, here we go again. The least little thing can happen, and you're afraid that it's happening again because you're afraid of it. I was afraid of abandonment.
Is it fair to even ask the question, how long would it take, or did it take, or does it take for you to trust your husband? I mean, is that a fair question, or is that like, nah, we can't answer that right now. It just doesn't, you know.
I think it's an individual each individual person and how long they've been hurt, yeah, how many times they've been hurt.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, we're still working on. It's okay. Still up to me to yeah. continue to work on
it's
rebuilding
a process.
Her trust. It's a process.
It
is.
You
it's
know, a great place to start that process is at the Weekend to Remember. Catherine, did you have a thought that you might want to give us about?
2.5-day getaway at weekendtoremember.com. Mm-hmm. Explore that. We'd love to see you. It's a great 2.5-day event that will help you focus on your marriage and spend time with your spouse. Tim, should they get in touch with you if they want more information?
Yes, they can call me at 412-337-3858 or tptuck@juno.com. And Tom, I wanted to ask you one final question here before we close. After a husband and wife are dealing with this or during this particular point in time, what can they do? What practical things that they can do to rid pornography from their life?
Great question.
And I'm not saying this just because I'm a counselor, but I realized how big of an aspect that was in my life. They must take the steps, clear out, get rid of it, get away from it, but they must seek help. They're not going to be able to do this alone. Seek the help of a professional. Don't let shame keep you from reaching out. You can reach out to me at 724-672-3670. I'm a certified sex addiction therapist. My website is www.thekeystonecounseling.org. Reach out to me by email at tj1162@gmail.com.
Yeah, there's like Covenant Eyes you can put on your phone or your
Covenant
computer.
Eyes.
There's accountability partners that you need to get in contact with to have regular communications. Don't let it just sit there in the dark.
Don't let the shame keep you in the dark. Shame is not your friend.
Wonderful.
And again, those who'd like to come to the Weekend Remember, which is a great help for families and for marriages, whether you're in trouble or whether you just want to make your good marriage even better, come and join us. Again, the first, it's going to be October 29th to the 31st and November 12th to 14th. And pastors and their spouses can come with a scholarship. Yeah. And by going to familylife.com/pastor WTR. That's short for Weekend to Remember.
Yes, sir.
That is it.
As well. Well, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Any final comments you'd like to make tonight?
You know what? You talked about fear just very quickly and briefly. We look in Scripture and we can be afraid of God's judgment and His wrath.
Right.
And we don't ever really kind of talk about that. But let's also remember that Christ died for me when I was yet still a sinner.
Right.
He didn't know me as one of His own.
Right.
I was against Him as an enemy, and He died for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get my arms around that idea of forgiveness, then I can possibly have that idea of forgiveness and apply that towards my spouse.
My final thought is reach out now.
Thank you, everyone, for your input tonight. We appreciate that. And
thanks.
Hopefully everyone can join us next Sunday night at the same time for Help and Hope for Families.
Thanks for having us, Tim.